On January 12, 1969, the rock world experienced a seismic shift. The unveiling of an album that would map out a plan for a band that was to become the most dominant group on the globe for the next 11 years. It was the self-titled debut of Led Zeppelin. This worldwide conquest had humble beginnings. Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones were doing countless sessions in London until mid-1966, when Jimmy agreed to join the Yardbirds. When that group disbanded in 1968, he set about creating his ideal band. He approached Terry Reid to be his vocalist, who had just signed a new contract and therefore turned Jimmy down. Terry did, however, recommend a friend of his from the North, one Robert Plant. Robert then suggested a friend of his to play the drums, John Bonham. The band was completed when Jimmy's fellow session player John Paul Jones volunteered to join on bass, and the stars all aligned. Robert Plant.
Definitely a huge slice of serendipity, because myself and also Bonzo, we'd come from more or less the same place. We were larger-than-life characters who were a bit like very big fish in little ponds, and we needed to move on, and we needed to be brought into perspective with other great players. And these guys, Jimmy and John Paul, were the creme de la creme, and I would say still are, if called upon. So I think what happened was both Bonzo and I found a place to be where we were not the life and soul of everything. So the fact that the doors of perception and opportunity had flung open so wide meant that we could embrace any tangential ideas we had. There was nothing that we couldn't try. And I think that, if I can use the word artistically, because it's a bit of a, this is a bunch of guys just having fun and getting quite serious about it. I think the first collection of other works and the actual works themselves, let's face it, the actual albums are that's the pièce de résistance of the whole thing, because that was the best we could do, and we did it until we bled.
Jimmy Page.
The circumstances of the first album were that we'd rehearsed the set and obviously the new material and the writing of at my home where I lived at the time in Berkshire. And the first sort of launch of it, if you like, of this material was in Scandinavia, where we did some dates, and then we came back to England and we were doing a few dates, like we did the Marquee Club, etc. But we were getting into Olympic Studios. Well, we weren't in a position at that time to be able to block whole studio time, so we were sort of doing a few hours here and a few hours there, maybe 3 hours here and 3 hours here on another day. So what I'll tell you is, we were really efficient because we'd already played it, so we were able to get into it and, you know, work on little nuances of it and the sort of drama of one bit and this whole thing of the light and shade that was to be. I think it works out to somewhere in the region of about, in total, 30 hours, 36 hours maximum. And that's with all the mixing that was done as well. I know that Glyn Johns said that it was absolutely scary hearing this band. And Glyn Johns had heard a lot of bands, but didn't he do a wonderful job on the album, the engineering?
Over the past 4 years, Jimmy Page painstakingly and lovingly brought Led Zeppelin's entire catalog up to the very best sound quality using up-to-the-minute technology. The results are glorious. Each of the band's 9 studio albums now features a companion disc with bonus songs, different mixes, and for the first album, a live performance from the Olympia in Paris. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Over the next hour, Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, and John Paul Jones will throw open the time portal and take us back 50 years to January of 1969, when they and the late John Bonham unleashed Led Zeppelin's first album. The record started a career in which the band would go on to become one of the best-selling artists of all time worldwide and shatter box office records time and time again. We'll feature music from the recently remastered and expanded Super Deluxe release of the self-titled album. Welcome to our celebration. This is Led Zeppelin at 50, All Access. Zeppelin recorded live at the Olympia in Paris, France, October 10th, 1969.
Communication breakdown, good times, bad times. This is how we started off the set in Olympia. You can just feel the energy on this. It's wild, but it's contained.
John Paul Jones.
Both Good Times, Bad Times and Communication Breakdown are songs that were never expanded. They were usually openers because they made you sit up. They were concise and quite hard-hitting. Good Times, Bad Times was a bit daunting to open with, usually. It was a riff I wrote. It was extremely difficult to play. And I used to wonder, what was I thinking?
Robert Plant.
From the get-go, with Glyn Johns for Zeppelin One, I was putting myself through tests all the time to try and match the largesse of the music. It was quite a daunting task to try and put a vocal, fit a vocal over the top of those pieces of music, because there was so much drama in them, a lot of them. So I had to create something that was not going to be ridiculous, but was going to be empathetic to the music. And so phrasing, pitch, you know, should I be singing everything at volume 10 or should I, you know, I had to find melody. And I had to make that melody work against the very, very strong web of music that was there. So But they must have worked with me a lot because I was pretty naive and I was very young. So to be a part of something, to craft the lyric and melody and to try and make it empathetic with the work that the guys have got going was a big challenge.
Jimmy Page.
Preceding the forming of Led Zeppelin, I'd been with the Yardbirds and been with Mickey Most, and Mickey Most was producing, and Mickey Most just knew the singles market. He really, I mean, he knew what he was doing with singles, but he didn't care at all about the albums. The albums were done in that old sort of session format, which I was used to being a studio musician some years beforehand, where they'd just be knocking out as many tracks as possible in a 3-hour session. And also what became very apparent with Mickey was that he couldn't give a toss for Stereo Records. So I'd learnt a lot in the day of my studio work, and I had very, very sure and firm ideas and positive ideas about what I wanted to do with the band, if I got this band together. And yeah, I sure as heck wanted to produce it because I knew what way it was going to go. I mean, and, you know, the first album was just, at that time, it was so radical because it was filled with so many ideas that people just hadn't, it just hadn't occurred to them. It was a way ahead. And you know, when you had something like Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You and things like that, nobody had gone in any of these directions at all. So when you had these wonderful musicians like John Bonham, John Paul Jones and Robert, who really develops this whole process of the recording and the albums as they come, his songwriting abilities are great, you know, his lyrics and that. Yeah, I really did. I really did want to produce it because I could see a way distance ahead, and I just wanted to keep, you know, if the band was going to stay together, then you could really start, as I say, going on this road where these initial ideas are expanded and not even finesse, but just expanded and go right over the horizon and, you know, in every direction.
Babe, baby, baby, I'm gonna leave you. I said, baby, you know I'm gonna leave you. I'm leave you in the summertime. Leave you when the summer comes rolling. Leave you when the summer comes rolling. Calling me the way it used to do. Thank you.
go away for rest, play. I got a good tune, yeah. Ah! Woman, I know, feels good to have you back again, and I know that one day, baby, it's gonna really grow, yes it is. We're gonna go walking through the park every day. You made me happy every single day. But now that's when it's calling me back home.
From the remastered and expanded first Led Zeppelin album, the amazing Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. We've heard that Jimmy Page himself decided to produce Led Zeppelin's music. One of the reasons was his insistence on using the recently developed stereo sound and his vision for the band's music.
It really was a conscious decision because prior to that time, I'd been in the Yardbirds and it was really apparent what was going on in America, which was that there'd been a number of FM stations that had, well, established. And these FM stations were playing what we'd now call alternative music to the singles. And you'd even get to hear them playing a whole side of an album. And I thought, oh boy, this is wonderful. This is the area to go in. Not the singles market, because the problem with the singles market was that if you have a single that everyone's worked on, you know, this is the single, you'd find bands that did that. The rest of the album material wasn't very good because they were singles market band. Not only that, when they did the next album, they had to do something, or invariably they did, something that sounded very much like the single off the first album, so everyone knew who they were. We didn't do that.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love. You heard an abuse telling all of your lies.
don't know where you're going. All in all, just where you've been. Sweet little baby, I want you again.
Revolutionary Dazed and Confused, heard in sonic splendor on the remastered and expanded eponymous debut album by Led Zeppelin.
Do I remember it? Let's put it this way.
That's next, when our celebration of Led Zeppelin at 50 All Access returns after this short break.